All right, Church, thank you for checking in. We're continuing in the book of Joshua in chapter 9. This is a second part looking at chapter 9. Chapter 9 is where the people of Gibeon, which is a prominent city not far from Jerusalem, they deceived the leaders of Israel into forming a covenant with them, a peace treaty. They deceived them. The leaders of Israel failed. They did not seek the counsel of God. They leaned on their own understanding, and they did not acknowledge God in their decision-making, and they failed. They goofed up. And as a result, now the inhabitants of Gibeon are now protected by Israel. And as when we get to chapter 10, you're going to see this is an ongoing issue for them. And as you read all of Joshua and Judges, you will see that this is a problem, is Israel failed to completely obey God. God had told Joshua, be careful to obey all I've commanded you. Don't depart from it to the left or the right. Don't make one mistake. Don't do anything wrong. Get it exactly right. And here, they have a clear case of deception going on, and they did not seek God's counsel. They even were skeptical. They even asked. They said, how do we know to make a treaty with you? And we looked at this yesterday in the little message, but they acted craftily, and the men of Israel said to them, verse 7, perhaps you're living within our land. Like, they're skeptical, but they didn't seek God, and they leaned on their own trust, and they failed, okay? And so we looked briefly at that in yesterday's little teaching, but I want to go deeper into what they could and should have done, because you see Gibeon coming out to them like this, offering, like, they're being deceptive, and they're liars, and that's bad, but They're not going to war with Israel. And there is a process for letting people live. There is a process for this. And Israel simply failed to do it. They said, oh, you deceived us, so now you're going to have to be our slaves. Verse 21, let them live. And they became hewers of wood and drawers of water. They become servants and slaves. That is not the process that God gave them to do. That's not it. But if Gibeon legitimately wants to surrender, they want to surrender to Israel and not be completely destroyed like every other city, which they saw it coming. They were wise to fear God and to recognize God's hand on Israel, that God was judging the cities. They were wise to recognize that. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and they had a fear of God, and they say so repeatedly in chapter 9. So the people of Gibeon were on to something. Now, they were deceptive, and they were lying, and they were bearing false witness against their neighbors by lying. Israel is a neighbor, and they're lying to them. They're in sin. They're wrong to do this. And Israel is wrong to offer them these terms of peace without even consulting of God. But they could have consulted of God. They could have done what Joshua 1 said to do, which is to be careful to obey all God's commanded, to not let the word of God depart from his lips, to be careful to obey it, not depart from the left or the right. They could have done this, and they would have figured out what to do in this case. There is a way for the Gibeonites to live through this. They don't have to burn them to the ground if Gibeon will truly surrender. Okay, this came up back in Egypt. In Egypt, in the book of Exodus, when the people were leaving Egypt, they left, and a mixed multitude went up with them, right? A mixed multitude, meaning Egyptians. Some Egyptians came along who saw this and said, we want to go with Israel. We don't know exactly what all their motives were, but they were intending to leave Egypt with Israel. They chose sides, and they chose Israel. It's a good choice, right? And so that's right at the time they're instituting Passover. All right, let me show this to you. It's in Exodus chapter 12, and they're doing Passover. Verse 43, Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it. Okay, verse 43. No foreigner can eat it. Okay, so you're a foreigner. You're not an Israelite. You can't participate in Passover. You're not in. Okay, but verse 44, every man's slave purchased with money after you have circumcised him, he may eat it. So if you make a slave of them and they will consent to being circumcised, then they can also participate in Passover. And if you're circumcised and you're celebrating Passover, you have converted to Judaism. You are now under the law of God, the Mosaic covenant. That's the process. Okay? And then he goes on, verse 45, he repeats it. A sojourner or a hired servant shall not eat of it. They're just traveling through the land. They're a hired servant. They're not an Israelite. Nope, they don't get to participate. They're not in. Okay? Verse 46 and 47, eat it in a single house. You're not to bring forth any of the flesh outside the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. Like, that's just part of the process of doing it. Verse 47, all the congregation of Israel are to celebrate this. So if you are an Israelite, you're supposed to celebrate. You must. And if you're not, then you're not allowed to, unless you're circumcised. And then he says it again in verse 48. But if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near to celebrate it, and he shall be like a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person may eat of it. The same law shall apply to the native as to the stranger who sojourns among you. This is Exodus 12. It describes the process of becoming an Israelite, of celebrating the primary celebration of Israel is the Passover. That is unique to Israel. Nobody else celebrates Passover because it wasn't for everybody. It was only for Israel, right? You have some Egyptians going with you. All right, well, if they want anything to do with this, they're going to have to be circumcised, all their males, okay? So when Joshua gets to Gibeon and these Gibeonites come at him in their deceptive manner, and he's failed and he has been deceived, and he finally finds out, which that's what happens. They've discovered. 3 days later, they're like, hey, these guys are actually just neighbors. They're just down the road. They lied to us. Okay, we found out our mistake. We didn't seek God's counsel. We should have sought God's counsel. What do you do now? Well, now the right thing is not what they did. What they did was they made them slaves. What they should have done, and God had said, destroy all the inhabitants of the land. Completely destroy them. He didn't say make them slaves. He said completely destroy them. But we know Rahab, he didn't destroy Rahab. Rahab converted. Rahab became an Israelite. It doesn't go into every detail of it, but she feared God. She trusted God. She lied to her own people in order to protect God's people. She turned treason against Jericho to join and ally herself with God's people. And she joined God's people, and God's people protected her. Even still, they put her on the outside, like she wasn't considered an Israelite yet. But we do know from the course of studying the rest of the Bible, her name comes up in the book of Ruth, and her name comes up in the lineage of Jesus. We know that she and her family did. They must have, and they did. They converted to Israel. They changed their citizenship. She didn't just offer to be a slave and remain a Jericho citizen, but a slave of Israel. No, she's done with Jericho. She's out. Jericho's over for her. I want to be with you guys. These Gibeonites are deceptive. They want to remain Gibeonites, and they'll be enslaved to Israel, but they don't want to give up Gibeon. They don't want to give up their identity as Gibeonites. They want to keep that, and they just want to live and survive. Israel should have, they had two opportunities to get this right, and they failed both. Should have recognized it from the start as deception and refused to do it and offered them terms of surrender. Your total unconditional surrender, circumcise your males, join us, take Passover with us and participate with us. And if you have if any part of you is not willing to do that, well, this is either unconditional total surrender and conversion to us, or it's burned to the ground. That was the terms. Israel is God's hand of judgment against this land. That's what they're there for. They don't. If you're a tool of God's judgment, you don't get to say, "Oh, we'll make a deal with you." Israel doesn't have. They don't have the right to do that. They're God's hand of judgment, so they're supposed to judge. And God's judgment is extremely clear all through it, from Exodus through Deuteronomy. God tells them very clearly, "You're going to be total judges of this land, and you're not to let anything live." And they don't. They other than Achan, remember, in Jericho, stole it, and he got caught, and he didn't live. And then Ai, when they get that right, they utterly destroy that too. And Gibeon, when they come to Gibeon, they're supposed to do the same thing. So they didn't catch it on the first try. Well, now that they have caught it, what do? They say, "Oh well, we'll have to honor our vow to the Lord, our oath. We can't kill them." All right. they can still offer them the same terms that they should have offered from the start. Look, guys, we're here as God's hand of judgment, and we're here by the power of God himself, and woe to us if we fail. And God had warned them, be careful to obey it all right? And they weren't comp- completely careful. They weren't. Gibeon is going to be a problem for them, and all these other, it also sets a pattern. There's going to be other cities all throughout Joshua that they fail to completely conquer. All the way into David's time, David has to conquer Jerusalem. It becomes a capital city. It remained unconquered, right smack in the middle of the land. They never got around to it because they start making these compromises, and they're not careful to obey all that God has commanded. God had a process for this. He taught it to them in Egypt, on the way out of Egypt. Look, you can convert. There's a conversion possible here, but there's no one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. You're either all in here or you're all over there. And if you're over there in Gibeon, you're to be totally destroyed. There was no room for this. All right. They should have offered those terms, those unconditional terms. That was the nature of this thing. And who knows? Some of them probably would have converted. We know Rahab did in Jericho. And these guys in Gibeon seemed to have a certain fear of God. They recognized the hand of God, and they feared God, and they said, "We don't want to fight. We're not going to go to war. We don't want to wind up like Jericho and Ai and these other alliances that are forming. That's not going to work. We don't want that." They were smart enough. They were wise enough to have the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, and they were deceptive. And Joshua basically let them get away with it. and that should not have been. He should have called them to 100% total repentance and total conversion or death. That sounds brutal, sounds harsh, but that is the terms that God offered. And the wages of sin is death. And if it sounds brutal to you, well, you need to recognize what sin really is. The wages of sin is death, period. And we need to abhor it. We need to have a total repulsion of it. And Joshua here made a deal with it. It was not the right call. Okay. One thing I like about the Bible is it has some heroes in it, and Joshua is absolutely a hero of the Bible. But, and just like Moses was, but heroes have faults, and the Bible tells the whole story. It does not line these guys up as though they were perfect, all right, other than Christ. So, glory to God. Don't compromise. Don't make deals. As far as it applies to your life, unconditional, total, 100% surrender to Christ in everything, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, right? All of it. Don't make a deal. Do not offer terms of peace that God has not offered. Do not make peace with what God is at war with. God is at war with sin. Do not make peace with sin. It is a false peace. It is a false alliance. It will not work. Joshua failed on this. We can learn from him. God bless you. We'll get into chapter 10 tomorrow. We'll be into that. See you then.